Good morning. It's a hard thing to sit here and not sing. But I've had this cough for about 2 or 3 weeks, so I knew I had to save what I've got for right now. Ralph had one of those song leaders nightmare moments there a while ago when you had to stop and almost everybody stopped singing. I mean, if the preacher loses his voice and stops preaching, then I think everybody applauds and says that we're done. Ruth told me this morning that Steve had a better evening last night, and things are starting to turn around a little bit. There's been some concern that his white corpuscle count was not coming back the way that it should, and that's begun to turn around. We need to continue to remember Steve in our prayers and his whole family. My wife told me 2 weeks ago I needed to go get an antibiotic, and you know how most men are. When you're down in the bed, you think, maybe I should go to see the doctor like she said. So probably if I'd have done that, I wouldn't have been in the state that I'm in, but here I am. If you'd open up your Bible to the book of Proverbs in chapter 30, Proverbs chapter 30, verse 18, I'd like for us to look at verse 18 and 19 and verse 29 down to verse 31. This proverb is credited to a man named, I guess you pronounce that name, Agur. But he says some things here in verse 18. There are three things which are too wonderful for me, four which I do not understand: the way of an eagle in the sky, the way of a serpent on a rock, the way of a ship in the middle of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. And if you listen to what he's saying there, he says that there's three things. He said they're too wonderful for me. They're amazing. And I don't know if each of these things would affect me the way that it affected this man, or if it affects you the way it affects this man. But he felt compelled to list those things here. He says, I don't even understand them. He says, they're too wonderful. The way of an eagle in the sky and the way of a serpent on a rock. I love to watch a bird soar in the air, but I don't really care anything about snakes. The only thing I care about snakes is if they're dead. I don't like them any other way. And the way of a ship in the middle of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. And verse 29 says, there are three things which are stately in their march, even four which are stately when they walk: the lion, which is mighty among beasts, and does not retreat before any. That gives me a little bit of cold chills right there. You think about that lion. He just walks around, and he has that presence about him. He's called the king of the jungle, and he's called that for a right reason, because he is the king of the jungle. And he displays that as he walks around. He has that kind of respect and a kind of a regal bearing. And he says he does not retreat before any. He just doesn't shudder away before anything. The strutting cock, the male goat also, and a king when his army is with him. Man, that's powerful, isn't it? A lion, a strutting cock, and a male goat, and a king when his army is with him. If you've never been around a strutting cock or a male goat, you probably don't understand what he's saying. But if you've been around those animals and seen them when they were in gear, like a big tom turkey, when he puffs his chest out and he
and he flexes his wings down, and they just barely drag the ground as he walks along, and he's just strutting his stuff. And he says, those things, he says, they are stately in their march. I've seen a lot of things in my life that I think are amazing. I've seen a lot of things. I have a lot of visions in my mind. They're like cataloged there, and I can bring them up readily, like having a photo album, and I know exactly what page it's on and which side of the page and whether it's at the top or whether it's at the bottom. And probably every one of you are like that too. We have special memories in our mind, things that we've seen, places that we've been, things that we've done, that we've been engaged in, and there's a photographic memory attached to that. I think about when our first child was born, and I can't tell you all the things I remember there, because it's probably not proper, because the first thing I remember was that it happened just like they told us in the classes, and it was overwhelming. It was so powerful when I was there watching Gabe be born. And then each child, as they came along, it was overwhelming. It was so powerful. And then when our first grandchild was born, I have this photographic memory of walking in there, and Levi was laying there, and I told Tammy, I said, he looks like a little tadpole laying there. And he had that little tiny hand, and I remember just sticking my finger over there like that beside him, and those little tiny fingers reaching up and gripping. I can see that like it was yesterday, and he's 7 years old. And it's just powerful. And there's just so many things that I enjoy looking at time after time after time. I never get tired of seeing them because of the beauty of them. I just never get tired of seeing it. I look forward to it. You know, there's a time when a horse is in motion, when it's running, that it's literally flying above the ground. There's not a foot on the ground. They're hovering for just a little while. And they learned that through years ago through this real tedious process of setting up several cameras, because they didn't have cameras like we've got now, and taking a series of photographs to document that. But if you know that it happens and you look for it, I've actually seen it. And it's amazing. It's powerful to see that 1,200-pound animal take flight. And, you know, we use that terminology about the horse or a deer or an animal, that they take flight. And they actually do take flight, even though they don't have wings. And it's an amazing thing to see. Men are visually oriented, at least I know that I am. That's why all the advertising that goes on in the United States, there's visuals put with it, strong visuals put with it, because it tends to make us go out and want to purchase, to make ourselves look like that or feel like that or be like that. We're very visually oriented. And then there's things that you can hear that are just amazing. Each time one of our grandkids is born, I always look at Tammy and I go, I wonder what her voice will sound like. I wonder what it's going to sound like when she says Papaw for the first time. Maybe I'm crazier than a lot of you other people. I don't know. I probably am crazy. But I do. I wonder. I just think, what's that going to sound like? When I hear that, what's it going to sound like? Guys, you remember when you asked the question, I don't know if guys ask this question or not anymore. If they ask the girl, if she'll go steady with them. Would you wear my ring? And all you want to hear is three words. You don't want, or three letters. You don't want to hear two letters. You want to hear three. Just that one little word, yes, but it's like magic, isn't it? Would you marry me? It's like magic when you hear that, yes, I'll marry you. And you stand up before the preacher and he says all this stuff to her. Will you do this? Will you do that? Will you do the other? Will you do this, that, and this, and that? And will you do it till the day you die? And she says, I will. That's powerful. Things that we hear. And there's things that we think about. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, Jesus said. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So there's things that we think about. And we love this life. We love the things that are in this life. We love the things we see. We love the things we hear. And we think about the things that we love. And there's a danger there. There's a danger there of getting trapped, getting stuck. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9 and verse 10. We can get so locked on to all the things in this life. And I'm not saying we shouldn't. We should, because God made us that way. We should enjoy all those things that I just talked about. But we can get so plugged in, so tapped in, that we miss the mark. Jason had a slide presentation here. I don't know if it was last Wednesday or Wednesday before last, but what was the name of that study? Where it had the man looking at the grave and the terror management theory. Yeah, I like that. I got to look that up. But if you weren't here on that slide, it showed a man, just a little stick man, looking at the grave, and he was terrified. He was terrified because of the thought that one day I'm going to die. And so the management of that terror was that in our life we insert all these things, job, home, search for riches, all these, and it diverts our attention to that so we don't think about death. And of course, the fallacy in that is that we believe that death is the end of all these things that are good, that we enjoy, that it's over and it's never more. And then sometimes in the church we say, well, it's that death is just the beginning. And I guess maybe that would be a factual statement for a Christian, that it's the beginning. But the thing is, God always has been, and God always will be. We're being ushered into eternity. We're being ushered into eternity. But we will be ushered into something that was made specifically for us if we are a child of God. It was made specifically for us. Solomon looked at everything that he had made and he said, when I'm gone, when I die, I don't know if it'll belong to a wise man or a fool. And what difference will it make? You can drive downtown right now and get down there and turn over the Young Street Divide, if you know where that is. That little arch over the railroad track down there. And if you look back to your left, there's an old warehouse back there. And on the front of it, it says Schaefer's. You can just barely read it. The paint is so faded. Both of my grandparents worked for the Schaefer's Grocery Company. They had one store where the Party Connection, or whatever it is now, it used to be the State Store. That was the original store where my granddad was a meat cutter. And then they had another store down on the Market Street area, down on 2nd. And when the father died that had built the business, the sons went, as so often is the case, hog wild. You know, we got to build more stores. We got to build warehouses. We got to do this. We got to do that. That warehouse on the Young Street Viaduct side is a testimony to what Solomon said. Because when I die, I don't know if it'll go to a wise man or a fool. The warehouse was never used because they went bankrupt. They drove themselves into bankruptcy. It was never used. You know, it's not that a business shouldn't grow and get bigger, because businesses don't survive if they don't. But these guys went hog wild crazy, growing way faster than they could take care of it, and they went bankrupt. Testimony to what Solomon said. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. I don't know what that says to you. I know what it says to me. Number one, it says to me that I don't understand it. Because I think I've seen a lot of things. You know, people email me pictures. You know, they'll send out these groups of pictures and emails, the pictures of the year. They're beautiful. They're just gorgeous. They're unbelievable. And then you'll get pictures of disasters and pictures of this and pictures of that. You'll get pictures, you think, how is that even possible? And look what this says. It says, things which the eye has not seen. And we think we've seen everything. Collectively, the human race, collectively, we believe we've seen everything. But it says, things which the eye has not seen and which the ear has not heard. You mean to tell me that there are things that are more amazing that I've never seen? That's what it says. There's things that's more amazing than I've ever heard. That's what it says. There's things that's more amazing that have never even entered. You know, you sit around and you think. We think a lot. We really do. We think way more than we even realize. Our thought process is so active. Like, you can listen to me talking right now and have a completely different thought process going on. You can read a book and think about something else. You can talk on the telephone and watch TV. That's how powerful our thought process is. Things that have never even entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared, it's prepared, it's already ready for those who love Him. That's powerful. And if you can't find hope in that, if you can't find hope in that, it's because Satan is holding it back from you. Satan's holding it back from you. There's nothing here that's not going to be far better, much more better, more than we can even begin to realize or think about when we're ushered into eternity, if we love God. It is prepared. In the Gospel of John in chapter 14 and 1 through 4, you know, Jesus is telling his disciples, he's building up to the time that he will be gone from them. And you have to think about it. I mean, he's just really kind of roared into his ministry. He's 33 years old. He is vibrant. He is full of life. He's a powerful speaker. People follow him everywhere. He's a powerful healer. He's raised people from the dead. He's fed multitudes. He's walked on water. He's done things. You ever seen anybody walk on water? Because I haven't. There's something we haven't seen. He's powerful. He's so vibrant and he's so alive. And all of a sudden he's telling him, he's only 33 years old, and he's saying, I'm going to be going, and it's going to be soon. They're going to take me and they're going to kill me. And all of you will desert me. And they're going, there's no way in the world, Jesus. That's just not, it's not going to happen. That's just not possible. But look what he says, some words of encouragement. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. He said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. He said, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. I bet almost every man, if he's honest and truthful, you know, we know all the excitement about leaving home, getting married. We love that girl. Whoo, man, do we love her. We spend all our time with her, you know, for 2 or 3 or 4 years or ever how long it is before we get married. And then after we get married, we just... But all of a sudden, it kind of settles in on us. I got a mortgage to pay. I got a car payment to pay. And these utility bills, nobody told me that they're going to come every month, month after month after month, and I got to keep paying them. And all of a sudden, one day, you have that thought. You know what? It wasn't so bad living with Dad. That wasn't so bad. I just kind of came and went as I pleased. I really wasn't working as much as I thought I was. I just kind of came and went as I pleased. I didn't worry about none of this rent, mortgage, utilities, land taxes, food, car insurance, batteries, tires, and it goes on. I mean, really, I did. I thought about that stuff. Man, if I could just go back there and I'd just like to go back there for a month with Dad and not worry about any of this stuff for just a month. Just kind of, man, just take a breather. It'd be great. I bet every man that's really shouldered the responsibility of life has felt those feelings. It says in the scripture that the whole creation groans in travail right now. And we all know what that scripture is talking about. We all feel the pain and the anguish and the heartache. And when am I ever just going to get to just sit down and rest? Look what he says. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. Whew. You have to go back home. You have to go back home. I don't know if you guys heard, I can probably tell this story now and maybe not cause too much heartache. When Forrest Hayward died, maybe you've heard this story, maybe you haven't, but I know there's some of you don't even know Forrest, didn't know Forrest. But I remember being down there that evening, and he had oxygen mask on his face. I remember looking at him, he was 90 or maybe a little more, right, Barry? How old was Grandpa? 94. I remember looking at him. He had some kind of a sleeveless T-shirt on, and I remember thinking, man, his arms are huge. And he still had this great big barrel chest on him. I thought, man, he looks great. Physically, to be 94 years old, he looks great. But finally, I thought, well, it's time to go home, and I'm going to leave the family here to themselves. And they told me later, they said that he sat up in the bed and pulled the mask off and said, I'm home free. And Hay said, my dad never said home free about anything. And he said, I'd never ever heard him say home free. In my father's house are many dwelling places. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I'm going to come again. And I'm going to receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way that I'm going. Don't you want to just go home one day? Because I do. I just want to go home. I just want to be at ease. I want to rest. I want the peace. I want the comfort. And besides that, we're going to be so amazed. We're going to be so amazed because the eye has never seen and the ear has never heard and it's never even entered into the heart of a man the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. But we trade it, don't we? We trade it away. We're trading it for this life. Many people do. There's many people that trade all of this that we're talking about for this life. And the reason is because we can see, you know, if I work the overtime and I make the extra money and I've got the extra money and I buy a new fill in the blank, whatever it is, a new Cadillac, a new four-wheel drive truck, a new whatever, you just fill in the blank, because we've all done that. And I made enough to pay cash. I paid cash. And see, it's not only great that we got the new whatever, it's that I can also tell you that I paid cash. That's almost as good as getting the new whatever, is to be able to tell you I paid cash. I paid cash for this. It's brand stinking new, and I paid cash for it. That's great, isn't it? We get caught up in that. We love it. We get excited about it. We're willing to sell our life to be able to do that. To get that new thing and to be able to look you in the eye and say, I paid cash for it. And the person standing on the other side is so jealous, they're going, I don't care. And they're caught in it too. We're willing to trade off. God said, it is so amazing what I have to give you. It's so amazing what I have to give you. Nobody's ever seen anything like it before. Nobody's ever heard anything like it before. Nobody's ever even thought of anything like it before. But we trade it off because I can show you. For $10, I'll sell you this songbook. And there's, I don't know how many songs are in here. There's a lot. There's over 1,000, and there's 1,024 numbers in here. That's a lot of books, a lot of songs for $10. Just because I can see it. And you know what the word says? The things that we see now, they are temporary. They're not permanent. They're not even real. They're temporary. Because all this is going to burn. It's all going to be gone. But nobody tells us that all the time. Nobody tells us that all the time. It's all going to be gone. We see it happening, and somehow we deceive ourselves that it's not happening. Tammy had this nice checked shirt ironed for me this morning. It was hanging on her bed. It's blue. And I said, can I wear that with this kind of green-looking jacket? Because she's a fashion police at my house. I don't get out of the house with anything that don't, you know, like. She says, you are not wearing those bibbed overalls. I said, why? I'm comfortable in it. You're not wearing those bibbed overalls. I'd wear bibbed overalls a lot more than I do, believe me. She just won't let me out of the house with them. You know, so I thought, I don't know if this is all right or not. She said, she looked at me, she said, I guess. I said, well, the other coat, the pocket's torn. So I got to wear, and I don't even know if it matches or not. But this stuff's fading away, isn't it? Pick up your shoes and look at the bottom of your shoes. What's different than when you bought them? They're getting slick, aren't they? Where you walk on them. There's holes in your clothes, and your car's wearing out, and your joints don't work like they used to. We all know the story. But we're willing to trade it. We're willing to trade it for what God said is so amazing it can't even be described. Look at Revelation 21. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death. Did you ever cry out loud and cry hard and just wish there was someone that understood how you felt right then and there was no way you could explain it? I know you have, you're not a human being. Or you're so hard and callous that something's wrong. It says God's going to be right there. And it says he's going to wipe away every tear from every eye. And there will be no more death. That's hard to even imagine, isn't it? And that's what the writer in Corinthians said. Things which have never even entered into the heart of man. What do you mean no more death? Everything dies. What do you mean no more death? There should be no more crying, no more pain. The first things have passed away. Whew, how about that? No more pain. Anybody in here have pain any time in your life? Anybody got pain right now? Yeah, I do right now. I got to stand on my right bum ankle so my left bum thigh can get some feeling back in it right now. No more pain. No more crying. No more death. And he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of water of life without cost. It's not going to cost you anything. I'll give it to you without cost. I'm not even going to charge you for it. He who overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Well, I got a lot of other things I wanted to say, but we're out of time. I think you get the picture, though. of what I'm trying to say. And the question is this. It's a brand new year. It's a brand new year. There's names in that box right there. And there's people that are sitting right here, right now, this very instant, that are outside of Christ. You're outside of Christ, and you know that you are outside of Christ. And outside of Christ is lost. It's lost. See, because there's a flip side to this. Everything I've said this morning, and if we'd have gone on there in Revelation, those next two verses talked about that flip side. It talks about the outside. But we don't have time to talk about the horrors of hell this morning. What we do have time to say, though, is if you're here and you've been hesitating and you've been putting off, there's people, I can see your face right now, that I pray for, that I've been praying for by name, and you're lost. You're lost because you're outside of Christ. You're never going to see the things that have never been seen, and you're never going to hear the things that have never been heard, and you're never going to feel the things that have never been felt. And you're not going to where there's no more death and no more pain and no more crying and no more suffering. You're headed for the flip side. You have every opportunity to change that.
Right.
Satan has deceived you into believing that the things going on in this life are more important. You know how I know that's true? I know that's true because of the difference in the number that we post on Sunday morning and the number that we write down on Sunday night.
That's right.
He's deceiving people. If we really believed that we were going to a place like we just talked about, right here is where we'd want to be.
Amen.
We wouldn't want to be anywhere else. We just wouldn't want to. We'd want to be right here. We wouldn't want to spend another minute outside of Christ for anything. We'd be jumping up saying, me, right now. Pick me, right now. The invitation is to you this morning if you are yet outside of Christ. The deceiver has deceived you into believing that you'll have yet another day. With the passing of a loved one or a family member, always comes sober thinking. It's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting, because the living will take that to heart. I've walked around these past few days and I've thought about, you know what, especially when I go into my barn to feed my animals, I go, one day I'll walk in here and it'll be the last time that I ever do it. I don't know what day that's going to be. But there will be a day that I'll walk in, I'll take care of my animals, and it will be the last time that I ever do it. But it doesn't matter because I've been washed in the blood. I've been washed in the blood. A lot of you have been washed in the blood. Some of you have not been washed in the blood. And the invitation is to you this morning. We're ready to help you right now. We're ready to hear your confession, and we're ready to immerse you. We've got a nice, clean, heated tub right back here. We're ready to go. And if you need the prayers of the congregation, then we're asking that you would come right now while we stand and sing.